Or we'll start at the bottom of Kuf Nun Hey Amud Bet, about 7 lines up from the bottom. The Gemara is discussing the issues that even though in terms of Mido Reisa, an individual becomes a gadol once they turn the age of 13, Chachamim saw that in terms of maturity, there were certain items where 13 wasn't a good threshold for to be the determining age when a person could be held accountable for actions or transactions. So here we're continuing. We have a statement from Amar Avuhuna Breit Rav Yeshua, Ulei Dut, Eduto Edut. That even though we've said before that transactions may not go through, or we annul transactions that they do until the age of 20, nevertheless, between 13 and 20, they're still classified as good Edim. So Amar Zutra, Lo Amran, Element Altalei. It's only true of non-real property, right, of movable items, but that's not true of karka, in that they can only have, their edut is only a good edut when it's respect to metaltim and not respect to karka. What's the reasoning that you say that metaltile work and karka doesn't work? Because the zvine is zvine. Why? Because we know that by metaltilim, his transactions do go through. By karka, his transactions don't go through. So if the transactions go through, we're going to say it's good for Edut as well. El Me'ato, he says, so from that you conclude, Hadatznan. You have a Mishnah that says, Apu'otot, Mechan, Mechacho, Menkaran, Menkaran, Bimitaltalin. These are young, the young little kids, 6 and 7 years old. Their transactions are good transactions when it comes to Metaltalin. So if you want to say the determining factor is the ability for a transaction to go through, that which makes you a good eight, then we can take that and extend it even to a 6 or 7 year old. If they can transact, then they should be able to have eidut. You're going to suggest that there also their eidut is a good? So Malay, you respond to Ravashi, no. There's still a minimum requirement that eidut be done by anashim, which is bar mitzvah. So true, yes, from the tzad that they can do transactions or their transactions are good transactions, yes, it could be edim. But the Torah still makes a demand that edim be at least bar mitzvah, at least be anashim. So you need, only from 13 and up is it going to be relevant that they can transact with metaltalin. But below the age of 13, that's not relevant. Even though their transactions are good transactions, it doesn't help us, legabe edut. Now Tosus points out over here, which is important, the when we tell you that they're testifying about metaltalin and karka, he says it doesn't mean that they're testifying, they're doing edut on karka. Right? So why should it be any difference between metaltalin and karka when they're speaking about when they're giving edut about metaltalin or giving edut about karka, shouldn't be relevant, you know, karka, metaltalin, where they can transact, not transact. The only time that would be relevant if we're talking about assessment or value assessments. That's what Tosa says that here. When it comes to assessing value of karka, we don't allow them to testify about the value of a karka or about you know, what it should be worth or what it was worth. We don't do. When a metaltalin, which they are allowed to transact in, then we give them permission or we allow them to testify about metaltalin regarding the value. One, because they can transact there. And number two is the mistake can't be that big. I mean, that the one of the bigger issues is that by karka, a mistake was very costly. Versus metaltalim, a mistake is less costly. Again, in their day, karka was everything. Land is everything. And if a person loses their land, right, they were considered, in a sense, unable to produce or to make a living. Whereas if a person had metaltalim, those were just what kept them going in the interim. So over here, again, karka, we don't let him make mistakes by karka. But by metaltalim, we allow him to give him some freedom to make some mistakes. Gemara says, Amar Meimar, Umatanato Matana. So here's another exception to the rule. Even though they're not allowed to transact, they can still grant gifts between the age of 13 and 20. Some of the Ravashna Meimar Hashto Mazvine de Mekabel Zuze Amart Dulo Dilma Mozilla Mazavin. So here, what do you mean? Buy a transaction where he's actually getting cash. He's getting money for the transaction. We say it doesn't go through. Why? Because we're afraid that he's going to underprice it. He's going to sell it too cheap. Kosh Kein Matana Dlamatale De Lo Mide. By a gift, he gets nothing. So why would you allow a gift to go through where he gets absolutely nothing versus a transaction where he's getting money? And there we say, well, we're worried about the fact that he might charge him the wrong price or he might get it, you know, they'll take it on the cheap from him. Over here, they're giving him nothing and taking it from him. Why won't we be worried about that case? According to you, if it's all about, you know, how good it is or what the situation is, then let's say, what happens if he goes ahead and sells 5 for 6? He does a good transaction. What happens if he actually makes money on it? Then he does a better deal than he should have. So then what are you going to say in that case? It should go through? Because there it's not to his detriment. It's to his benefit. No, but what do you say? That there is a chamim or gozer across the board that by memkar, mekach or memkar, it doesn't work. By matana, they didn't do that. Why? Elokim l'drabanan, do you know? Mekarvidate gabizuze. They know the kids love money. You know, you shake a couple of coins in front of a child, right? They get excited. Via mar zvine zvine. If you're going to say that his transactions go through, zimne de mekarvidate zuze, people are going to tempt him with some cash. You'll go ahead and sell everything for, you know, you give him a couple of coins, then he can go buy some gum in the store. He'll sell everything because that's what's his interest. That's where he's tempted. He's not going to give away a gift or land for no reason. I mean, there he gets no benefit whatsoever. He's going to be aware of that fact. Again, you could tease him or attract him or seduce him with money and pay him less than he deserves. But if you give him nothing, what's the temptation for him to sell the property or give the property away? That we don't worry about. We said, let his gifts be gifts. So people will do good for them. That they know that these individuals or these ketanim can reward them in some way by giving them a gift. So we want people, it'll encourage or entice people to help them out, to make sure that they are well taken care of. So therefore we allow their gifts to go through, whereas we don't allow their transactions to go through. It's interesting that Tosis it's not only interesting Tosis because it's a chazara on what we did in Bava Metzia. Tosis asks, wait, well, the Gemara's question is, oh, if he sold 5 for 6, that'd be, you know, then it should go through. But that the underlying assumption there is that if anybody sold 5 for 6, that the transaction would go through. Is that really true? That's a shtut. That's oh no. How could it be? Well, what's the Gemara's even have a mina that it should go through? So the top Tosfos gives a number of answers. Same Tomar Gam Gdolim Nami in Nimem Karo Memkar. Forget about a katan. Even a gadol won't go through. Right? Behai Gavna. The Havelei Bitul Mekach. Umak Zira. No. It goes, that's a Bitul Mekach. It doesn't work. So listen to these answers. One, the lav davka nakat cham shebishito. That's the first answer. It's lav davka. They just meant a good transaction. They don't mean literally, which I would have read it that way. I think that's probably the best answer. But now the others. Now, inami davka va'ata shapir l'mashe perish rabbeinu tam deinu unala karkaot. The other possibility is that we're talking about karko over here. Talking about karko, there's ain't unala karkaot. So this goes well with rabbeinu tam's pshat that oh no, but there isn't oh no, but karkot, that you can sell it. There is no such thing. We don't worry about oh no whatsoever there. Inami. So another interesting dispensation here, a heter from Tosu says that if the parties know, if he says, I know that it's not worth this, and yet I'm still paying you this money. So if he explicitly states that, that means that he's mochel on the oh no that's being charged here. So if they're aware, parties are aware that you're overcharged, then it goes through. Inami, lo yitbatel legamrei kevin delekha yoter mishtut. The other possibility is that it's on the shtut itself, and therefore it's the transaction goes through, but the onah is returned. So there are different possibilities that Tosfos lays out of how the transaction could have worked, even by a gadol. I think they're interesting, and probably most likely is just that the Gemara was just saying a good deal. They weren't implying through this that it would be work with a gadol. Just saying, if they got such a great deal, right, when we say it goes through, the answer is no, that it doesn't go through in those cases. So now we have another statement. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Bodkim l'kedushin, l'gerushin, l'chalitza u'miyunin, l'imkor m'nichse aviva shehe ben esrim. We check, after a child has reached the age of 13, where they are no longer a minor, and they're able to do or function like an adult with regards to halachic implications or halachic tokef. So over here we say that nevertheless, when it comes to certain items, we are bodek. We check if they really are a gadol. We don't allow it to go through, and we checked whether they are really gedolim. And number two is by mekach or memkar with his father's possessions, we wait until 20. So now the Gemara wants to know, if they, in order to get married, when we have kiddushin, we say we're going to double check and make sure that they really are gedolim, that they have shtei sarot, then kevin devanakna the kiddushin, the gerushin namali. What do we have to check about gerushin? Gerushin can only come after kiddushin. So if you already checked for Kiddushin, why do you have to check again by Gerushin? You already did the check. There was no way you could get to Gerushin unless you did the check by Kiddushin. He says, no, lo nitzrucha lo liyubum. Now, there's a possibility that he ends up with a wife even without ever performing Kiddushin. What's that? His brother's wife falls before him in Yibum. And we know that a ben teisha v'yom echad, he's 9 years old plus one day, then already biato bia, it's good bia, and how are you kone a yivama? Kone yivama through biva. So if he could have, he could be below the age of 13, yet still acquire his yivama, And he can't divorce her until he's a gadol. He can't provide for her again until he's a gadol. So here you have a case where he's married to the woman, requires a get, and yet nevertheless he never performed kiddushin. So we never did a check on him. So now when it comes to doing gerushin, we're going to have to do a check on him because he never had a previous check. It's none. That's how you create that situation. Because a 9-year-old in one day can create tibum, has bi as a good bi, and if he's koneh, he's yivama. It's koneh is yivama, he's still a minor and he can't provide a get. And until get, he can't give a get until he becomes of age. So that's the case where we're going to check. Lechalitza. So why would you ever need a, what do you need to know a check about for chalitza? This comes excluded against the position of Yossi. The Amar Ish Katuv Bepasha Valisha Ben Gdola Ben Ktana Kamash Malon the Makshina Nisha Li Ish Dolok Rabbi Yossi. So here it sounds that the Gemara is a machlokas. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that the requirement for a person not to be a minor when it comes to chalitza is that requirement only is on the man. The man has to be an ish, she has to be over the age of bar mitzvah. But the woman, whether she's over the age or below the age, you can perform chalitza with her. It's irrelevant how old the woman is. So the Gemara says that that's not our... This statement by Rav Nachman and Shmuel comes to teach you that's not the case. That we require them both to be of age. Both the woman and the man have to be of age in order to perform chalitza. And that's what we learn from this, that when they require chalitza, we have to do a check. Is that we're checking both the man and the woman. Are checking both of them to make sure they are not minors, because otherwise the chalitza will not work. And that's against Rabbi Yossi, who says you only need to check by the man, not by the woman.
Why can't you just say, just checking the man?
Oh, very good. So Tosas asks your question. Why don't you say, Bim Tomar, Ema Leinion, Ish Mairi, Tahatma Fil Rabbi Yossi Mode? Right? So, Yesh Lomar, the Mashma Lay, the Mairi Ben Beish Ben Isha, Tumia Delegitin of Kedushim, the Mairi Ben Beish Ben Isha. Says that chalitza is listed here by kedushin and gitin, which all require gedolim by all the aspects. And says that's the case, we're going to say the same thing is true by a right here by the chalitza. Although it's not so clear there either, because by kedushin you can perform right. A father can marry off his daughter over there. It's the father doing it when she's a ketana. But I assume in order for a woman to accept for herself, she's got to be of age. So since you have it, both the man and the woman have to be in age. By the case of kiddushin, we're going to say the same thing by chalitza, that we're talking about both the man and the woman. Right? Just saying that why our statement of Rav Nachman and Shmuel comes to exclude Rav Yossi because of what she was asking. Why is it just by a man? Why can't you just say that he spoke about a man and not a woman? So the answer is that because of the other issues that are mentioned by Nachman and Shmuel, that consistency would dictate that it's both man and woman that we're talking about all the way through. And if that's the case, it comes to exclude Rabbi Yossi. Ola miyun nin, it comes to miyun, why do we have to check? Afuke mid Rabbi Yehuda, this comes to, again, exclude Rabbi Yehuda's position, da amar ad shirbe shachor. So until the dark, I mean, it's not enough to have shtei se'arot. It has to be that it's much more prevalent. There's until the black has expanded, you know, that there's a lot of hair. There was a girsa in the Gemara that said, "Achiver shachor al lavan," on the white. We don't have it because the Rishbam took that girsa out. The Ri, on the other hand, says the girsa makes sense. It's not talking about white hairs, se'arot levanot, but it's talking about the skin. The skin is white, right, in contrast to the hair, which is dark. And so that's what it means, not that there are more black hairs than white hairs, no. It's that there is more black hairs on the white skin, so it appears more black. So that's the review that Amar Yishkar, Kamash Balan, to look Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't worry about Rabbi Yehuda, we just check for the simanim, we just check that there's shtei starot, and that's enough. Rabbi Nachman Amar Shmuel says that you have to be 20 in order to transact in your father's estate. Lafuke, demand Amar ben Shmonasre. It comes to exclude the opinion. Yesterday we saw this machlokes whether it's 20 or 18. So here it's like the opinion that says it's 20. Now the Gemara is going to list through what the halach is. The hilchasa, these are the halachas. Tochsman tilifnei zman. So by tochsman we had that machlokes yesterday between Rav Amram of Nachman and Rav Bar Rav Shila Amram of Nachman, which is tochsman by kilachasman or is it tochsman tilifnei zman? When you reach the actual age of 20, right? Is it equal to what comes afterwards, meaning that you're already mature, or lifnei zman, it's already still considered below the age. So the answer to the Gemara here, the Psak Halacha, is what? That it is lifnei zman. The toch zman is kalim, so answer, therefore, ein michirato michira b'nechse aviv, in that case. Number two is, yilchasa ki gidol bar menashe. The other halacha is like gidol bar menashe, which is that ben yugimel, that knows masa matan, can be mocher minichse aviv, even with karka. Right? So that's the, if he knows Tiv Masamatan, which is what we saw yesterday, Yodea B'Tiv Masamatan, Mekacho Mekach, Memkro Mekgar. If we see that he is a sharp one, he's got a business sense, then when he does transactions, they go through, because he's acting in a mature and a way that we would assume that he's not Mevazvez and just losing out his father's estate. He's understanding, he's doing something with forethought and understand it. So that's Gidul Bar Menashe. The Hilchoserka Mar Zutra. That was the Alocha Zayik Mar Zutra. That that by Edut, by Metaltalim, it works. Which is what we saw, the first thing we started with today. Right? That Amar Rav Yehuna B'Rei Rav Shula Eduto Edut Edut. And that's Mar Zutra's qualification. That's only by Metaltalim and not by Karko. The next talcha is Beilchasakah Meimar. A Meimar's memra was that a matana is a good matana, even though he can't transact. Matanot are still a good matanot, because by transactions we're worried about him being tempted by the money. By matana, there's no reason for him to be tempted. He's not getting anything. So therefore, the halacha is like him. And Hilchasak Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Bekulhu. The halacha is like Rav Nachman Shmuel in all the statements that he just made. All the statements means that we're bodkin by Kiddushin, Gerushin, Chalitza Minin, and also by 20. The age of 20, right, is the age for transactions. And before that, we have to check whether he is good enough to do the transaction, sharp enough to do transactions. Otherwise, until 20, the transactions don't go through. Now, it's interesting, the Rashbam over here at the end just makes a statement. He says, Vikala Meimar, he could say that this is all true, B'nichse Aviv. We're talking about his father's possessions of the estate. Ava minchasim shnanu lo b'matana, if he got received items with a gift, or he bought items, then that don't come from Yerusha, then his transaction would be a good transaction. And that we're worried about it when it comes to him, a large estate shows up for him and he doesn't understand what to do or he doesn't know how to deal with it, then we're worried about him doing the wrong thing. But if he's already transactioning and that's how he got the possessions, then of course he can go and sell them again, because the fact that he came into his possession indicates already some sort of maturity. Or the other side is also if he gets it as a gift. He got it as a gift, he didn't do anything. It's not something that he's losing, because he got it as a gift. He didn't pay anything, he didn't give up anything. So if he transacts, makes a mistake there, we're less worried about it. So the Rashbam suggests that this is only true by the estate, that we don't allow him to transact. But that's not true by the case of if he has personal possessions, that he may transact in those personal possessions. Okay, next Mishnah, step back to Shchimera again. A mechalek nechasav, someone is distributing his property, alpiv, he's doing it orally, he's making a matnat shchimera orally. Rabbi Lazar Omer, now the Gemara is full of girsel problems that say Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mishnah here is Rabbi Lazar, and then you can see the bottom Tosos, it goes all the way through the next Amud, which is Tosos discussing, the Rabbeinu Tam was go raise Rabbi Lazar over here, and not Rabbi Eliezer, and then Tosos goes through a number of proofs or reasons why it has to be it's Rabbi Lazar. But so we're going to read it as Rabbi Lazar, and even on the Amud where it says Rabbi Lazar, we'll read it as Rabbi Lazar to make it consistent. Right? So Machalech Nechazav Api, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Echad Bari Vechad Misukan. Doesn't matter if you're healthy or you're Shchemira. Nechasim Sheish LeMachrayut Niknim BeKesef Shtar Chazaka. Talking about real property, you have to do a kinyan of real property, which is Kesef Shtar Chazaka. Shein LeMachrayut. If you're talking about non-real property, you're talking about Metaltlim and Niknim Elu Mishicha. You have to do a full-fledged kinyan. Basically, what Rabbi Lazar holds is that when it comes to Shchemira, his Ein Dvarav Ketuvim Musarim Dami. His word is not the equivalent of being written down. Again, we saw before that the Rashwan, that means it's a Maisa Kinyan. So he says it's not a Maisa Kinyan, it's a Mira. Or according to the Ritva, Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. The Kana doesn't apply. According to Rabbi Lazar, this is not true. There is no such thing as a Matnat Shchemira. Matnat Shchemira only works where you do a Kinyan. You have to do a full-fledged Kinyan. Now, and based on this, the Rashbam says, if you have to make a Kinyan, what happens if he survives? What happens at his deathbed? He makes a gift, and then he makes a kinyan on it, because that's what Rabbi Lazar requires. If he's amad, can he take it back? So the Rashbam says yes, no. Says v'hu adin heichad amad einu chozer im kano miyado, because kinyan already is an indication of gemirat adat, that he's giving it away and giving it away in a sense that he doesn't expect it back. And therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar, who demands a kinyan over here, everything becomes like a matnat bari. By matnat bari, you don't have the ability to retract the gift or to renege on the gift unless you stipulate that I'm only giving this because of Mechmat Mita. Now, you could have argued otherwise, and there are others. The Bach over here takes issue with the Rashbam's conclusion and says, no, what do you mean? There is such thing as Mitzavah Mechmat Mita, Matat Shchemira, and even according to Rabbi Lazar, even though it requires a kinyan, still you'd be able to back out of it. If it's Mitzavah Mechmat Mita, you should be able to back out of it, because it's obvious. There's an implicit tenai in the gift that exist even with a kinyan. And we saw that in Shulchan Aruch when we looked at the Shulchan Aruch, when we looked at the Psak Halacha, that when it comes to mitzvah machma mitah, even if you make a kinyan, we say that you're able to unwind it. If you make a kinyan, that's not enough to make the transaction final. And if a person survives and does not pass away, they're able to retract the gift. So we see that even in other places, a kinyan is not the finality that makes it so it's irrevocable. That's not the case. It is revocable when it's undone in the context of death. It's only we saw before that if he's mezaka, he does the, but not shkemi, he's mezaka and does a kinyan, he does more than he should have done, then we say it's irrevocable. But in these cases, it shouldn't be revocable. But here you see the Rishbam and the Bach who takes issue with that conclusion. Now, the Mishnah continues, Amarlo, Maseh b'iman shel b'nei Rochel. This is a case we saw in the Gemara back on Kufnun Aleph, that Maseh b'iman shel b'nei Rochel, that we, mother of b'nei Rochel, she'aita chola, she was sick, v'amra, she says, tnu kvinati, right, or leviti, give my kvinati, which we don't know what this kvinati is, but give it to my daughter. Right, it's a very expensive, it's 1200 zuz, it's a very expensive item. Umeita, and she died. And they went through with it. So this is a proof to the Chachamim's position against Rabbi Elazar. Here against the Yorshim, who should inherit this kvinati, nevertheless, we say that it goes to the daughter, because she instructed it to go to the daughter. So that's exactly what the Chachamim say. Matnat shchemira, by amira is enough. So he says to them, "Amalehem bnei Rochel tikvareim imam." The mother should bury them. Meaning that the bnei Rochel were not necessarily pleasant characters or people of good ilk, and therefore the Chachamim decided to give it to the daughter, not because halachically the daughter should get it here, but rather because of a knas against the bnei Rochel who were undeserving of it. So therefore, they made sure that it went to the daughter. Now, what this kvinati is, we remember back on Kufnun Aleph Amud Bet, the Rashbam says that it's a brooch of some sort. It's a, what? Yeah, it's a takshit. He calls it a kushta, I think, which is a nushka, which was some sort of pin or brooch that connects or buttons the top of a shirt. That's what he claims. The Re over here disagrees and suggests that that's not what this is. But rather, he says that it's a, like the Parish of Aruch, they call it a koliar, which is some sort of crown. And a crown that has some sort of pin in it, or something sharp that is associated with it. So if the pin, I don't know if the pin allows it to be put into the hair, some sort of adornment or crown, rather than a brooch over here that buttons up the top button of the shirt. Whatever that's the piece of jewelry that it is that she's granting over here. Satanya, Amar lehen Rabbi Elazar lechachamim. Maseh b'Meroni, it's a place. Meroni echad, this individual from Meroni. Sheyab Yerushalayim. Hayu lo metaltelin harbe. He was a wealthy individual, had tons of metaltelin. Uvikesh letnem b'matana. He was passing away. He wanted to give them as a gift to individuals. He wanted to distribute his wealth. We know this case from the Gemara in Kedushin. This is by the Gemara in Kedushin about Kinyan Agav. But they want to know, the Gemara wants to know, by a Kinyan Agav, do you have to have two things? One, do you have to physically have the metaltelin on the property? And number two is, does the property have to fit all the metaltelin? Does that in potential have to fit the property? So we had that question. So the Gemara brought this case over there. So here they came. The only way for you to gift this property or these metaltelin is to do it al gav karka. Why? So that's the Gemara there. It goes through a whole balagana. Why? But the recipients are not there. The recipients are not available to take possession of it. And I think he was uncomfortable, right, about giving it to a third party in order to be mezaka yadov, or there's machlokas there, Rashi and Tosfot, whether it was done through a kinyan sudar. Can you do a kinyan sudar with a third party, with a party that's not related to the transaction? So over there, that was the question that was raised. But whatever it is, the Chachamim said you couldn't do any transaction. The only way to complete the transaction was to do a kinyan agav. So halach, so what did he do? V'lakach beit selah echad samuch liYerushalayim. He bought a small parcel of land right near Yerushalayim, land that was not plantable, right? It was a fallow land that wasn't useful in terms of plantable or farmable arable land, right? So the Vamar Tzvono Leploni says the north piece of this little section is from so-and-so. V'imo me'at son. And with it goes 100 son. U'me'a chaviot and 100 barrels. U'dromo Leploni. And the southern side is the so-and-so. V'imo me'at son and me'a chaviot. U'meit. And he dies. U'kaim u'chachamim et dvarav. And they went through with the transaction. So you see, What do you see from this? If you see from this that you can't, you needed a kinyan. Even though here he's a manachka meira, we still demanded of him to make a kinyan. So there the Gemara asks, so you see from here that a kinyan agav does not require you to have the sessions on it, or it does not require you to have the potential to put them on there. And the Gemara's answer in the Gemara in Kedushin is that he didn't really mean literally me'atzon or me'achaviyot, but he meant the value. He had a stack of coins that was worth me'atzon, me'achaviyot. That was the value, but not necessarily the physical item. And a stack of money you could put on that piece of land. So it's not, the kinyan agav was done on the value, not on the actual item. That's for the Gemara in Kedushin. But over here, what do you see? You require a kinyan. Chamim said him, what are you talking about? Amarlo, misham rayo, what's the proof? Maroni bariyaya. He was a healthy individual. Who said he was a who said he was a shkimira? It says that he died afterwards. But that's not, the issue was that he was giving a gift. He was a healthy man, he was giving a gift. So that's why he required a kinyan. So he required a kinyan because it's a healthy gift. And then, right, he passed away afterwards. That's just the reality that he passed away. But it's not that he was a shkimira when he was making the gift. The other possibility was that it was when he gave it away like that. Well, here he's mechalik nechasav, so he's doing it in one shot. But you could have suggested if he did it at different times that it was b'mixas. It was matan shkimi b'mixas. Matan shkimi b'mixas still requires a kinyan, according to everybody. And so you could have suggested that, although here it sounds like he's doing it all in one shot. He's mechalik kol nechasav here, that it's all of his possessions. Right, so the Gemara says, what did Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah say that b'nei rochel tikbarei mimam, that their mother should bury them? What is this? My time of kaloyit lehu. Why is Rabbi Lazar either disparaging them or cursing them? Why is he being negative on the Bnei Rochel? They used to keep thorns in their vineyards, which Rabbi Lazar the Tameh, and this is Rabbi Lazar to his own shita. It's not a mekayim kotzim bekerem. Rabbi Lazar omer kadesh. Right, that is, if a person does not remove the thorns from the vineyard, then it turns it into kilai hakerem. Because in order to become kilai hakerem, they can grow together, or even if they're already grown, if you leave them to continue growing, then that's classified as kilai hakerem. So over here, these individuals, they were not weeding out the thorn bushes amongst their grapevines, and since they were not weeding them out, they were mekayim kilayim. So they're a violation of kilaya kerem. But this is Rabbi Lazar the Shitote that says that kotzim are a problem. Sorry, thorns are not something that makes kilaya kerem. The thing that makes kilaya kerem is something that you otherwise would keep, that people grow for a purpose. Thorns are a negative, they're weeds. Weeds in items that detract from that which is grown there, they're not classified as kilaya kerem. Kilaya kerem is something you would otherwise plant somewhere else and would want it. So where it says, all right, listen, bishlam, if you're talking about karkum, then chazi, then it makes sense. When you're talking about small that grows into the vineyard, that's something that has value, even though it's small or tiny and it might be thorny, but it has value to it. So therefore, it makes sense that it'd be kilaya kerem. El kotzim l'may chazi. What a kotzim, what value do thorns have? What would you ever use thorns for? So he says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, my time with Rabbi Lazar, what's the position? Why does he believe it? Shkein be'arabia, mekaimin kotzim istot ligmalehem. So in Arabia, they used to feed, that was what they fed their camels, and they used to keep these kotzim as food. It was feed for the gmalim. So we see they have value, that they have value somewhere, because people would, in certain places, use them for animal feed. So if that's the case, they should create kilaya kemim. So Amar Rabbi Levi, konim, the Chamim who disagree suggest that we don't go after Arabia. We say, what's Rubo Shel Olam? People don't use Kotzim. That's not, we're going to say, Batla Deto, it's a Rob Bnei Adam, which is that Rob Bnei Adam, is that they don't plant Kotzim for it to be Mekayim then. It's only in Arabia. Just because in one place in the world they use it for feed for their animals, is not going to make it into something that's a problem for Kilei Kerem. That which is Rabbi Lazar's Bnei Chamim say, no, that's not enough to make it into Kilei Kerem. The Amar Rabbi Levi, Konim kinyan mishkimira afilu b'shabbos. You can make a kinyan from a shkimira even on Shabbos. So what? That sounds like who? That sounds like Rabbi Elazar, that we're requiring you to make a kinyan. Why else would a shkimira need a kinyan? So he says, no. Lo leichush l'divir Rabbi Elazar. The reason we're doing this is not because of Rabbi Elazar. Elashem tidrof da'ato alav. We're worried about the maseir. He's afraid that even if he just says it, it's not going to go through the transaction. So in order to ease his mind, we allow him to do a transaction or do a kinyan on Shabbos in order that he is b'yishuv adat. To give him that yishuv adat, we allow it to do him. And not only do we allow it to do him where it's not functional, meaning that, for instance, by a matnat shkimer bekula, which is giving away all his possessions, you do not need a kinyan. So over there, the kinyan is just ceremonial because it's not going to do anything. They would have gone through even without the kinyan. So they say over there on Shabbos you can do a kinyan. What's the big deal? Okay, generally we don't want to allow kinyan. It looks like mechach memkar. But over here, even if you do the kinyan, it has no halachic tokef because the transaction would have gone through without it. So there for sure it works. But the Rashbam points out, Tosfos agrees, that even you could do a kinyan by mixas. Even though it's not shkemir v'miktzat, you're allowed to do a kinyan and it goes through. Even though there the kinyan is necessary for the gift. Without a kinyan, the gift will not go through. Nevertheless, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Why? Because, again, shalot t'tarif dado, but you want him to be of peace of mind. And that's because, here he writes, lo sam chadate shetitkayim sabato ba'amira. The person on the deathbed doesn't think that it's going to go through just by speaking. In order to ease his mind, konim afilu b'shabbat, we allow you to go through the kinyan b'chol matnato, any type of gift, ben shishir, whether he leaves over or whether it's bekulo, b'tzar kinyan ben shloshir v'amira sagi. Either way, we allow it to go through. The transaction goes through, and we say do the kinyan on Shabbos in order that he feels good. So again, in order to ease the mind, here it's only a gzera d'rabbanan. Doing kinyanim on Shabbos is a problem because it looks like mekach u'memkar. Shabbos, we don't allow you to do kinyanim on Shabbos. So therefore, the Chachamim suspended their, right, the gzera of mekach u'memkar, the takana that you can't do kinyanim on Shabbos. They suspended it in this case to ease the mind of the shchiv meirah, because they knew that he was in a precarious position and it could cause him angst or even accelerate his passing away if he couldn't, doesn't know that these things are settled. So these things are settled by him speaking and then doing a kinyan. We do it to ease his mind. Whatever it takes to yishuv dato, we go ahead and do. Alright, next Mishnah. There's a quick Mishnah here. Rabbi Elazar Omer, B'Shabbat Dvarav Kayamim Mipnei She'en Yachol Lichtov. Rabbi Elazar, who says that Amira is not Kimisurim Ktuvim Dami, it doesn't work. That Amirat, or the of Shechem Mira, does not equivalent to Ktuvim Misurim. Nevertheless, on Shabbos it is. Why? Because on Shabbos, you can't write. Aval lo b'chol. And in the weekdays where you can actually document it, and you can do a kinyan, there we say that's what you must do. On Shabbos, where you're unable to do those, he says it works. The Amira works, and it's Ketuvim Misurim Dami. Says no, on Shabbos they said it works, you're allowed to do Amira on Shabbos, because there you can't write. But sure you can write, and then you can do it. Then on Chol, where you have the ability to do a kinyan, certainly Amira should work, which is the right, the concept of Chol, right, Koshi Chol Evol, right, Ein Bila Me'akevet Bo. Meaning on Chol, where you could write it, then Amira should definitely work. If on Shabbos, where you couldn't do it as a regular kinyan, and you couldn't do it otherwise, and yet we say Amira works, then certainly on Chol, where you have the ability to actually do the transaction, then certainly their Amira should work. Kiyotzebo, we have a similar type of concept. Zachin the Katan means Zachin the Gadol. Person's allowed to take possession. A person is allowed to take possession on behalf of a Katan, but not for a Gadol. Why? Because by a Katan doesn't have the ability to be zoch on his own rights, or his own merit. So therefore, you do it on his behalf. We allow you to do it on his behalf. But for a Gadol who can do it on his by himself, we don't allow you to do it on his behalf. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Again, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shua Omer, the Katan Amru, Kavachomer the Gadol. Same idea again, Rabbi Shua is suggesting. By Katan it works, we allow you to do it on his behalf so that someone can be zoch on his behalf. Then Kavachomer to a Gadol who can do it on his own, certainly he can have someone else do it for him. Alright, so now, Matnitan Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Mar says, Rabbi Yehuda, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, because we're going to see two versions of the Mishnah, one according to Rabbi Meir, one according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you'll see, obviously, that Rabbi Yehuda is the version that our Mishnah has. Why? Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, we have a Brais, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Elezer, Omer, Bechol, Dvarav Kayamim. On a weekday it works. Why? Mipnei Sheyachol Lichtov. Because since you have the potential to do it in writing, therefore call Shiesh no Babila Ein Bila Me'akevet Bo. If you have the potential to do it, then we allow you to do it through Amira. Avalo b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, since you couldn't even do it with a Kinyan or a Ktiva, then certainly you can't do it b'Amira, which is the opposite of our Mishnah, the exact opposite of our Mishnah. Rabbi Shua Omer, b'chol amru, b'kal b'chomer l'Shabbat. That it's both the Chol, if you can do it on Chol, then you sure can do it on Shabbos. On Chol, where you have the ability to do it in another with another vehicle through Ktiva or through Kinyan, and there we say Amira works. Certainly on Shabbos, we have no other option, it's going to work through Amira. Kiyotzebo, Zachin the Gadol, Vein Zachin the Katan. You're allowed to be Zochea on behalf of a Gadol, and not on behalf of a Katan. Why? Because a Gadol could do it on his own, so therefore you could do it for him. A Katan who can't do it on his own, you can't do it for him. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua Meir B'Gadol Amru. If it works by Gadol, where he could have done it himself, and we still allow you to do it. Kal v'chomer l'katan. Then certainly by a katan, we allow you to go through where he has no other ability to take the kinyan. So certainly we allow you to do it on his behalf. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is the way it reads in the Braisa, and this is the way our mission reads. Rabbi Eliezer Omer b'Shabbat v'Rav Kayamim. On Shabbos it works. B'nei Sheni Yachol Lechtov. There's no other alternative. So that's why it works. Avu b'chol. B'chol was an alternative. We don't let you do it. Rabbi Shua Omer b'Shabbat Amru Kal v'chomer b'chol. If Shabbos it works, where you don't have the ability to do it otherwise, and it still works, then clearly where you can do it another way, then Amira should be sufficient, because that's the Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to acquire on behalf of the Katan, because he doesn't have the ability to do it for himself. But a Gadol has the ability to do it for himself, you can't fill in from him. And along comes from Yeshua, Omer, the Katan Amru, Kavachom, the Gadol. If it works by a Katan who doesn't have the ability, then certainly by a Gadol. The Tosos on the bottom here is important. Tosos about Zechia, we've spoken about this Tosos in other places, like in Gittin and other places, about how does Zechia work? Well, how does, when you are Zochah on behalf of someone else, you say, somebody says to you, take this gift on behalf of someone else, and you're Zochah on his behalf, how are you functioning? What's your function? How are you doing this on behalf of the other individual? So it's a machlokas about how it works, the zechia. And Tosus l'shitato says over here, if you look at the bottom Tosus on the Amud Bet, it says l'shitato, v'im telmar, lama in zachin l'katan, halo zachin l'adam shalo b'fanav. Why can't you acquire on behalf of a katan if you zachin l'adam shalo b'fanav? Of course you can acquire for a katan. Who would ever suggest that you can't be zochi for a katan? V'yesh lomar, kevin d'zechia mitam shlichut. Zechia works because you are a shliach of the individual. So only someone who can create a shliach will you be able to be zochah on his behalf. A katan who cannot create a shliach, you cannot be zochah on his behalf. Tosus l'shitato, that zechia is mitam shlichus. That zechia works. Right? Just is working because of shlichus. Not the chachamim, I'm just saying that's Tosus. There are other rishonim who believe that zechia is mishum yad, or some sort of extension, that it could be done, not mitam shlichus. So nafkamina is obviously like things like this, by a katan. Katan who cannot create a shlichus, but could have a yad, right? Is there ability to, are you able to be zocha on his behalf? Obviously the other opinion, which is according to Rabbi Huda's reading, who says that it works for a katan and not for a gadol, why should that be? Because according to Tosa, it's all shlichus, it should work by a gadol also. So he says, no, because the chachamim are metaking that it works. That zechia works. It was a takana chachamim to benefit the katan, and they didn't make such a takana when it came to a gadol. Right, since he could do his own kinyan by his own behalf, we don't let him do it through a third party because he has the ability to do it on his own. But a katan who doesn't have the ability to his own, the chachamim stepped in to give him an ability to have zechia yidei a third party. And that's the differentiation why he would say that a katan works and not a gadol. In the end, really we pass it like Rabbi Yeshua, which is that it works for both. It works for a katan and a gadol. And it works, zechia works whether you're, because zachin shadam shalo bifanav. Let's stop here.